Nicholas von Amsdorf was the only nobleman in Luther's inner circle, yet few people today have ever heard of him. Learn more about one of the first evangelical bishops in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Nicholas von Amsdorf, champion of Martin Luther's Reformation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Nicholas von Amsdorf.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
We use that phrase all the time, don't we? Jesus and his disciples, or Jesus' disciples. What does that word mean? And what does it mean that there in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is passing along by the Sea of Galilee and he finds Peter and Andrew, brothers, James and John, also brothers, and he says, "Come and follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And from that point on, they are referred to as his disciples. Does Jesus still make disciples? What does he mean when he says in Matthew 28, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them"? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson for the remainder of this hour with Pastor Tom Baker. We'll be looking at Matthew 4, Jesus calling those four disciples, and the great preaching that he is doing as he goes along gathering his disciples of all kinds. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
We use the term a lot, disciples. We use it in the sense of the small group of men that Jesus called, and we use it in a more general sense of everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a disciple?
Primarily, it means that a disciple is referring to a dedicated follower of Jesus as he has spoken the word of God from his Father, and particularly has become the Savior of the world and the promised Messiah. The word is found in the New Testament only in the Gospel and in Acts. And in the ancient world, a disciple was normally a follower of a teacher. But we use it in two ways. We can refer to any Christian who follows the teaching of Jesus as a disciple, but it's often also used as part of the 12 apostles that Jesus had selected, which is our lesson for today. So anyone can be a disciple who believes in Jesus, but occasionally it's just referring to the 12.
What was different about the 12 that he called as opposed to all the others whom he may have called or who ended up, like in this text, following him from town to town?
Well, what is important is that they were not like every other Christian. In light of Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 8, these individuals were sent out specifically to preach and to heal in the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ. So there is a distinction between their calling and every other calling of individuals. But God, in the person of Jesus, says he will make them fishers of men. Now that's kind of important because much of what Jesus does and says is in light of the Old Testament. And sure enough, he talks about fishers of men. In fact, it's Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16. Jeremiah is talking for God. "I am sending for many fishers, declares the Lord, and they shall catch them." So there already in the Old Testament, there's this understanding of fishers of men who will have the task of specifically speaking for God. In fact, we also know that they came to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the New Testament books and letters. that we might have a record of who Jesus is, what he did, and why it's so important that we should follow him as his disciples.
Okay, so we have Jesus. This is immediately after his temptation, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
He has come out of the wilderness having encountered the devil and defeated him. And then he begins to, and this it says, now when he had heard that John had been arrested, that's when he starts gathering the disciples. What's that about?
John had been arrested because he had spoken out against the ruler who was having a unbiblical, immoral marriage. And therefore, John was going to be put to death. The fact of the matter is, therefore, that when Jesus heard this, he then goes into Galilee. So he leaves Nazareth, and he lived in Capernaum by the sea, and it specifically says, by the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. This is kind of, in our thinking, would be the wrong side of the tracks, because many of those people had intermarried with heathen and other such individuals, but Jesus still was going there. In fact, what Matthew 4 says here is almost a direct translation of Isaiah chapter 9. In the former time, God brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but the latter he has made glorious, the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. And in 731 BC, the Assyrians had conquered that land, and unfaithful Jews had intermarried with non-believing Gentiles. This is a great example of the love Jesus has, not just for so-called good Jews, but for all people. As the Apostle Paul later says, there's now no distinction between Jew and Gentile, and therefore all are welcome into the family of God by the blood of Jesus Christ.
The preaching of Jesus is summarized very, very simply there by Matthew when he says, Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What should we make of that?
We should make of it what was also said by John the Baptizer, for he said much the same thing. In Matthew 3, verse 2, John the Baptizer says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does Jesus say in Matthew 4, verse 17? From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, when John said it, he was pointing forward to the Messiah, whose shoelaces he could not even retie. When Jesus says it, he is the kingdom of heaven at hand. And repent simply means two things: sorrowful over our sin, and also faith in the promises of the gospel that began in Genesis 3:15 throughout the whole Old Testament books until the coming of Jesus Christ. And so John the Baptizer begins this ministry, which Jesus now takes over, knowing that John the Baptizer will be being put to death. Jesus finds it important to call his first disciples.
We'll talk about the calling of those first disciples on the other side of the break with Pastor Tom Baker as we teach a Sunday school lesson in Matthew chapter 4. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. If you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Sanctifying your daily errands with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us. emmanuelpress.us.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
We're getting a Sunday school lesson from Pastor Tom Baker on Jesus calling his disciples in Matthew chapter 4. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During April, when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give the same amount of money to their ministry of the month, the LCMS Youth Gathering. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church, LutheranFCU.org. So, Tom, take us into this account of Jesus calling Peter, Andrew, James, and John.
Yes, it says he's walking by the Sea of Galilee, and this is, of course, north of Jerusalem, already indicating an area that was somewhat looked down upon by regular Jews because of the sinfulness of people in that area from their point of view. And he saw two brothers, Simon. Now, Matthew adds, who is called Peter, Petros, a rock. And that is a name Jesus later gave to Simon, with his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Quoting, of course, Jeremiah. Surprisingly, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now that's really what a disciple is. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is really important because in our particular denomination, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we believe that even pastors do not become pastors until they have a divine call. You may be talking to a Sunday school child who may think that, yes, I'm going to be a pastor, or I'm going to be a parochial school teacher, or I'm going to be a deaconess, depending who's talking. But you really don't know what God's plan for you is until you have that divine call. I had almost 80 field workers. Those were seminarians affiliated with my church here in St. Louis. And about a half dozen did not become pastors, even though they were going to the seminary. But they either, for one reason or another, were unable to pass the grades or couldn't learn the language, et cetera, et cetera. They were not called. They thought they were going to be called. But we don't believe a pastor is truly a pastor until he receives a divine call through the congregation and he then gets ordained and installed. So this kind of calling of Jesus to the disciples is very similar, that pastors are really needed in a congregation for a couple of reasons. Number one, they have a divine call from Jesus himself. But number two, they have been taught to understand the scripture, maybe the original languages, the culture of that day, in order to give insights into the message of Jesus that may not be entirely apparent just by reading the English translation. That's why every sermon ought to be on the basis of a Bible passage to elucidate its real meaning. And this is what Jesus was bringing these disciples to do, after which he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and then this next phrase is so important, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Now, what's the gospel? The gospel is the good news of the promises that the Messiah has come, and he will be pierced in hands and feet. He will be whipped, but the Lord will lay on him the iniquity of us all, and through his death and resurrection, we are saved. But notice, Jesus is not just a talker. He is also an actor. In other words, he heals every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. Now, Syria was even a little further north than where Galilee was, and this was a really an area of believers and unbelievers. But that's what he did to preach. Now, later on in the Gospels, the closer he gets to the crucifixion, the less are the healings that he is doing. But we can understand at the beginning, he wanted to make very clear to the people that he was fulfilling the promises of the Old Testament. The blind were going to be able to see, the deaf were going to be able to hear, the lame walk, and so forth. And so when people brought him the sick and those afflicted with various diseases and pains, Jesus helped all of them. And that's really important, as a number of illnesses, which he has totally control over, including those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and those who had various diseases and other pains. And it says, great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. That doesn't mean they were disciples, but you can imagine that many of them couldn't believe all these healings he was doing. We get that example after the feeding of the 5,000, where a number of them want to run after him, thinking that he's a new bread king and that he will restore Israel to its former grandeur, get rid of the Romans, etc. And of course, they were sadly mistaken when Good Friday came around and they were totally confused. But this is important for the Sunday school children to understand. Though they may not have been called as an apostle, they were called as disciples, and it also was with water. These were fishermen. Well, many children are baptized into the Holy Christian Church. And in that baptism, they are receiving God's call to be his disciple. And so, therefore, the Sunday school teacher's task is to help them to understand not so much what they have to do to remain a disciple, but rather what God has done to initiate their discipleship, and as Hebrews says, to make it end on the day of judgment with them going to heaven. And that's really good news a Sunday school teacher can give to children these days.
Would you talk briefly about the fact that these disciples, another thing that makes them quite interesting is that they immediately, you emphasize that, both of them, all four of them immediately leave everything behind to follow him. What would you say to account for that?
I would say it's the work of the Holy Spirit. We find a number of instances in the Bible. The disciples are sent to Jerusalem to prepare for the Passover. There's a donkey there. They say the master has need of it. The fellow says, take it away. You know, take the donkey away for the Palm Sunday march. Why did he do that? I don't know. But there are a number of times when a command is given to someone and they follow it because of their love for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
You have made the case there, Tom, that Jesus is still making disciples through baptizing and teaching today. What would you say is the kind of the message that Jesus continues to have for his church, especially these Sunday school children, in terms of that repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that law gospel message?
Yes, that's an excellent question because it reminds us of the transfiguration where God the Father adds something that he did not say at the baptism. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. In our day and age, we have a lot of voices speaking out against what is clearly taught in the Bible. And if there's anything a Sunday school teacher can do is to help them to understand, to listen to Jesus. And the way that the Sunday school teacher does that is by quoting what Jesus has to say, explaining what Jesus has to say, and giving that good news to the children who really are in such a need to hear it.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find out more about Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Dr. Jacob Corzine answer the question, what and whom do we receive in the Lord's Supper? We'll get a review of the movie Dumbo with Pastor Ted Geese, and we'll discuss an attempt by New Jersey lawmakers to ban The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Cheryl Magnus will be our guest. Jesus made the first disciples. He gathered them together by the power of his word, the Holy Spirit drawing them to him. Jesus made all those disciples that followed him from town to town. He made all those disciples too. He commanded that his disciples would go out and make disciples by baptizing and teaching. And guess what? Jesus has made all those disciples ever since. He is the disciple maker. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.